You'll take your Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter number 8. And boy, I don't know, the flag still means a whole lot to me. I pray it does to you as well. And it reminds me, and I believe it should you as well, how blessed we are. God has blessed us in a mighty way. Before we get into our text, I just want to mention this very quickly. We've been dealing with the subject of prayer here at Liberty Baptist Church. And one of the things that we've learned is we need to pray specifically in our praying. And I think we have a clear command in the Word of God to pray for our leaders. But the truth is oftentimes we don't even know the names of the leaders we're praying for. And so if you look at the very back of this sheet that you've been given, you'll find all the way from our local leaders, all the way up to the very top with our president and vice president, and everywhere in between, we have our representatives, our senators. We even have our district commissioners listed here. And then on the inside are 20 ways that you can pray specifically for your leaders, your government leaders. And listen, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm good at sitting around complaining about a lot of things. But how good are you about sitting around and praying that God would move upon the hearts of those that He's allowed to be in power? So I want you to take this and maybe stick it in your Bible. Now, you don't have to sit down and pray all these 20 things all at once. Maybe just take one or two and lift up a name here and there, praying specifically for those that God has allowed to be in power. And so we wanted you to have that as we think about the freedom that we so richly enjoy. I also want to say this. I'm so thankful for the fine workers that we've just recognized who've joined us here today. Many are faithful members here at Liberty Baptist Church. And I want you to know, we're so thankful for your care for us. You know this, we live in the greatest country, the greatest nation in all the earth. And here's why it's so great. It's because God has blessed us. He's allowed us, I believe that this is why, He's allowed us to be a light in this world for 250 years. And I wholeheartedly believe the reason why is found in that verse we quoted earlier, Psalm 33 and verse number 12. See, these things don't happen by accident. There's a God in heaven that moves in the affairs of men. And it says, blessed is the nation, listen, whose God is the Lord. It goes on and says, and the people whom He hath chosen for His inheritance. We understand that it's referring to the nation of Israel. But do you know this in Christ, that we're His peculiar treasure? And this is a wonderful truth. Today, as we celebrate this nation's birthday with the Declaration of Independence finalized on July the 4th, 1776, we're caused to consider the main distinguishing mark of this country. What is the main distinguishing mark of this country? And I say in one word, freedom. Did you know this, that one of the major themes in the Word of God is this matter of freedom? Did you know that? In fact, the very name of this church is Liberty Baptist Church. It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 17, which says this, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, guess what? There is liberty. You might say freedom. You see, the word liberty, it means this, to live in freedom to God and for God. And I want you to think this morning and consider as we think about 250 years of this great nation, I want us to think about what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say about being free. And I'll tell you, it's this pastor's desire and it is God's design that every one of us that are here today would experience true freedom, the kind of freedom that God has provided. Would you look with me in John 8? In verse number 31, And just because we stood so many times, we're not going to stand this morning for these verses, but look with me in verse number 31. If you're here with us, you don't have your Bible, you can take the Pew Bible out. It's on page 787 of the Pew Bible. You can get there real quickly. Page 787, I want you to see the words of the Lord Jesus about this matter of freedom. Verse number 31. The Bible says in verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him," notice what he says, "if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Verse 32, "And ye shall know that the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free." Oh, notice their response in verse 33. "Then answered him," they answered him, "we be of Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." I want you to consider that last thought, that last phrase that the Lord makes mention of. And it's this thought, free indeed. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, would you help us this morning? Lord, I pray every person that's here this day would walk out of this sanctuary understanding that they're free indeed. Oh, Father, would you help us? We need you. It's an impossibility without you. It's an impossibility without the truth. And so, Father, open our eyes. Help us. We just seek thy face. Lord, we just love you and thank you. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. I tell you, if you were to spend one day outside of this country, somewhere else that's not here, you would really understand how truly blessed you are. In fact, I believe many have never left out of the United States, but you go to a foreign country, and particularly if you go to somewhere like a third world or second world country, you'll understand that not everywhere in the world is like this. How many, by raise a hand, would say this morning, "Pastor, I'm glad I live in a free country"? Amen. Did you know this? The average American ranks in the top 1 to 10% of global population concerning wealth. We're in the top 10%. In fact, economists tell us that even families below the poverty line typically still sit at, listen, the top 30% of the global average of income. Friends, can I say this morning that you and I, we've got it good. We've got it real good. By a Pew Research poll, because of the wonderful conditions enjoyed in this country, 78% of all Americans feel a strong sense of gratitude, guess what, weekly. And another 61% believe that the U.S., and might I say rightly so, is uniquely blessed by God. But I want you to notice in this passage, the Lord speaks about being free indeed. And friend, let me ask you the question this morning before we start. Are you free indeed? Are you? Did you know this, that you could live in this great nation your whole life, the land of the free, the home of the brave, and not be truly free according to what God says? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of a freedom. It's not based on the country in which you live. It's not even based on your heritage in this world. But he speaks of a freedom that gives you the very best life you could possibly live. You remember the beginning part of the Declaration of Independence. We probably could quote it, but it says this: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator," by the way, that's God Almighty, "with certain unalienable rights." What are those rights? That among these are life. What's the next word? Liberty. freedom in the pursuit of happiness. And that brings me to the very first point. If you're taking notes, and I challenge you to write these down and think about them. First of all, the desire for freedom. The desire for freedom. Now, I asked the question, are you free indeed? But I like to follow it up and ask this question. Friend, do you have a desire to be free? Do you have a desire to be free indeed? You might be looking at me kind of weird and say, Pastor, I live in the most wonderful nation of ours. I am free in this country. I'm living the dream. I want to tell you this morning that there are those here this morning that walked into this place that are enslaved by some habit, some sin, some weight in their lives. And the fact is, you just can't break away from it. Maybe this morning you're here in this place and you're enslaved in the chains of anger. You're one of those folks that turns from 0 to 60 in a hot minute, real fast, just boiling anger. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been dealing with this matter of depression. You just can't seem to get out of it. Maybe you're here this morning and on your heart and on your mind is this matter of overwhelming sorrow, and it just takes you over all the time. Maybe you're here this morning and you just have a rotten attitude, and it doesn't matter what's going on around. There's always some negative thing you can pick out in the midst of the situation around you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in the chains of addiction of tobacco. Maybe you're in the chains of addiction of alcohol. Maybe you're enslaved in the bondage of pornography or immorality. Perhaps it is that you live in a free country, but the fact is, you'd have to admit, I'm not free indeed. You know, the Lord counsels us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, and He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know why? Because we have a race to run. And He says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I ask the question again, do you desire to be free? You desire to be released from that? You know, the Statue of Liberty is an icon, and I've seen it several times, and it's famous. There at the base of the Statue of Liberty, there's a poem inscribed there, and it welcomes all those who land on that island to see that statue, and it mentions this, that you're welcome for those, listen, who are yearning to be free. It's the desire for freedom. That poem was written in 1883 by an American poet named Emma Lazarus. How interesting her name. I didn't know. Last name of Lazarus, pretty unusual. And it reminds me of the Lord Jesus raising old Lazarus from the dead. And how fitting she composed this poem to raise money for the construction of the pedestal base that Lady Liberty would stand on. It's a symbol of this free nation. And I wonder this morning, as you came into this place, do you have a desire to be free indeed? You see, freedom was a hot topic for the nation of Israel. It was a hot topic for our forefathers in this country. For the nation of Israel longed for a day when they could throw off the yoke of Roman rule. After 70 years of captivity, they left out and moved from the sovereignty of rulement of one nation to another. And here they are in Jesus' day, and they have on their minds and on their hearts, boy, I just want to be free. And many of the Lord's disciples believed that Jesus Christ would be the one to overthrow Roman rule. And so the Lord begins to speak to these, not about a political freedom, not about the freedom of a nation, but the freedom of your very soul. Notice with me in verse 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You might want to underline that expression in your Bible, the truth. The truth shall make you free. You know the best antidote to a lie is the truth. And God says if you want to be free indeed, you must know the truth. And so we come into this place and we open up this book. It's not because we want to hear some new thing that the pastor has to say. It's because we want to be free indeed. We want to know the truth. And in fact, it is this morning that many will remain in bondage of some difficulty. And here's why. Here's why. Because they will not listen and receive the truth. By the way, can I encourage you, not only is this book the truth, but Jesus Christ himself said in John 14:6, he says, I am the way and, listen, the truth and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. So we see, first of all, the desire for freedom. Friend, can I tell you, you must have a desire for freedom. Secondly, number two, the declaration of freedom. Now, I did not say the declaration of independence, but I said the declaration of freedom. See, we must first have a desire for freedom. We understand we have the truth. We must have the truth to be free indeed. But then the Lord gives a declaration about that. Notice in verse number 36, the Lord's declaration. He says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, notice the words, ye shall be free indeed. Did you notice this about the Lord's statement? He gives a definite statement. He does not say, if the Son makes you free, you might be free. He does not say, if the Son makes you free, there's some things you'll be free from, but other things you'll never be free from. No, he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, guess what? You'll be free indeed. And so two things about this. Number one, it must begin with the Son of God. Number two, it must continue with his word. Can I tell you this morning, if you want to be free indeed, it must start at the feet of Jesus Christ. You might say to me this morning, well, I'm free to do what I want. Can't I just do it myself? Can't I just proclaim my own freedom? Can I tell you the answer is a resounding no. Now look with me, because the men whom the Lord is speaking to had the same issue that perhaps is going through your mind right now. Notice in verse number 33 how it is that they respond to the Lord speaking about this freedom that he offers in him and him alone. They answered him, verse 33, and said, this, we be of Abraham's seed. And notice the language. They are emphatic. They say, we were never in bondage to who? Any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now here's the thought. They believed because they were descendants of Abraham. In other words, they could trace their lineage all the way back to Abraham. They understood the blessings that God had given to Abraham. They understood those were passed on to Isaac. They understood that they were sons of Jacob. In other words, the nation of Israel, the one whom God called Israel. They understood, physically speaking, and by the flesh, they could trace it all the way back. And so they were simply saying this, because of my name, don't you understand? I'm not in bondage in this world. And likewise, you might be here this morning coming into this place saying, don't you know, Pastor, I'm a United States citizen. Don't you know, I've grown up in a free country. Don't you know, I'm out on my own. I live in my own place. I have my own car. I have my own job. I can do what I want. I make my own choices. Friends, you can have all that and not be free. And the Lord says to you and I this morning that the only way to true freedom is, here's how: if I make you free, then you shall be free indeed. We have not only the desire for freedom, it must begin there. You must hold on to the declaration of freedom, the Lord's words saying, I will make you free. But then I want you to understand this, the debt of freedom. The debt of freedom. We understand, looking back at this nation's history, 250 years. Do you know this, that it required blood to purchase the freedoms that you and I enjoy? Now, I spoke on Memorial Day when we remember those who have fallen of the staggering figures. Listen, it's not just in the hundreds of thousands. It's in the millions who have given their lives so that you and I could enjoy this freedom. And I'm told this, that since declaring our independence in 1776, the United States of America, listen, has been in roughly 230 years of the 250 in armed conflicts. Now, that's not from a formal declaration of war from the Congress, but listen, we were just in a long protracted war without a declaration of war from Congress. Think of it, only 20 years in this nation's history that we've actually had a place where we haven't had to point weapons and missiles and guns and have troops on the ground somewhere to have our freedom. The fact remains is that it's almost been with constant conflict that we've remained sovereign and free as a nation. And I want you to know this morning that the expression freedom is not free is true. And even this, that there's a debt to this freedom in Christ. We can read these words of the Savior. The Savior says this. Notice how he says it. He says, if the Son, therefore, notice the verb, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You might ask the question, how is it the Son of God can make you free? How does he make you free? Our freedom that he speaks about here is from sin. It's a freedom from condemnation. It's a freedom from corruption, and it requires two things, action and sacrifice. Did you know this, that our sin demands justice? Now, I could ask the police officers that are here the question, or even if the sheriff was here, I could ask them, listen, if someone breaks the law, does it demand justice, yes or no? Absolutely. In fact, if they were to capture the criminal and bring him before the judge, and the evidence was to prove, in fact, that they had transgressed the law, guess what? It is the obligation and the duty of the just judge to render justice. Notice verse number 28 of this chapter. Would you look at it with me? Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. That expression, when you had lifted me up, Jesus, the sinless Son of God, would not be lifted up by man to a place of honor. He'll be lifted up after they laid him down on a rocky edifice, after they took nails and drove them with hammers through his hands, after they drove a nail through his feet. What the Lord was saying is this, when I'm lifted up on Mount Calvary, when I'm lifted up on that cross, then you'll know that I am. Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, paid the price for your sins. The justice that should have been meted out to you was taken by him. He laid down his life on the cross. He suffered God's wrath in our place. The justice of our sins demands was paid by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3, verse 18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered, listen, suffered for our sins, the just. He was the just one, the just for the unjust. You and I are the unjust ones, that he might bring us to God. For what reason? To bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Friend, can I tell you this morning that all the way since the beginning, even before the beginning of time, God has moved in his love for you and I to make a way for every human being to be free indeed. And that leads me to the final point. You see, the declaration is this: if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And that leads us to, lastly, the direction for freedom. Not only is the emphatic declaration of freedom given in this passage, but the direction of that freedom is found there as well. The Bible plainly says in John 3:36, listen, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Jesus Christ, or God's only Son, can make you free indeed. And the invitation is to all and for all to come to him in belief for salvation. I can tell you this, even though America has had to fight for 230 years out of 250 years of existence, the Lord Jesus has already won the victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus shed his blood for you and I. As the verse stated earlier, the just for the unjust. He died in my place and he died in your place. But then the Bible tells us he triumphantly rose from the grave, demonstrating this, his victory over sin, his victory over death, and our justification if we'll but receive him as our Savior. You see, the truth is this morning, listen, every one of us that are sitting here today will stand before God one day. Every one of us. Remember, you will not be free indeed simply by living in the United States of America. Now is the time to trust in Christ as your Savior. Now is the time to secure this promise to be free indeed. Now, I rejoice in the fact that God has blessed us richly. We rejoice and thank the Lord for the freedoms that we've enjoyed over 250 years. But I ask the question, do you want to be free indeed? Do you have a desire to be free? Secondly, do you believe what the Lord says about his declaration of freedom? If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Do you believe that? Hey, it begins with his Son. It continues, Christian, with his word. And then thirdly, do you understand and believe there's a debt to freedom? Jesus Christ paid our debt so that we might be free. If we'll just accept the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, which is eternal life. And lastly, the direction of freedom. You might say, Pastor, I want to have victory in an area of my life. I bet every person here has some area of their life right now that you're struggling with. I bet every child of God, Pastor, admit the same thing. There's something that I struggle with. You want to be free? Listen, freedom is found in Christ and in Christ alone. We use the words of the blessed hymn. We sing it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. For others this morning, maybe you're here this morning, there's never been a moment, a time in your life. Now listen, this is not some willy-nilly thing. This is not some vague thing, but there's never been a time in your life when you personally has cried out to God for salvation, trusting in Jesus Christ and him alone. If that's you, get it settled today. Why continue in bondage? Why continue to be bound up? Why continue to be weighted down when you can trust in the one who can make you free? Listen, salvation will give you an experience of true freedom from sin, from the weights of this life without Christ. I want to invite you with the language of Scripture, Acts 16:31. I couldn't find any better words. It says this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What do I mean by this? Be willing to admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. You've broken God's law. Your sins demand justice. And in God's court, you're guilty as charged. Are you willing to admit that? Number two, believe all that was spoken about the Lord Jesus, the Son of God who can make you free. Why? Because he died on a cross for your sins, was buried 3 days later. He rose again from the grave. And guess what? He's alive forevermore. He's coming back one day to receive us as his child to himself. And then lastly, cry out to God in prayer, calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved. The Bible says, for whosoever, that's anyone, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe lastly, you realize this morning that you haven't taken much time or thoughts to the freedoms that you enjoy day by day. Perhaps this altar would be a good place to come and tell the Lord thank you. Perhaps this altar would be a good place to come and say, Lord, I didn't realize there's so many that risk their lives day by day, and I have not been thankful, but I want to thank you. Lastly, maybe these festivities and this remembrance reminded you to come and thank God for this land that you so richly enjoy. All the blessings that God has showered upon you. Maybe there's some others that like to commit to the Lord to spend time praying for our leaders. You'd have to admit, I haven't prayed for them. And you want to come and tell the Lord, Lord, I'm gonna make an effort to pray specifically for these leaders that are listed on this sheet. However it is the Lord has dealt with you this morning, I pray you'd come and do business with him. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father.